Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good afternoon. All right, it's a Thursday, so we are getting closer to the weekend. Yeah, another hot day, but you know, I'm seeing more clouds than I've seen the last couple of days. A couple of them look like they might actually contain some rain. And I know there were areas on the West Bank and just parts of the greater New Orleans area that were getting a lot of rain. Hey, I'm glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. We do have a lot to talk about. The man who invented the infomercial, a guy invented so many things, Ron Popeil, passed away at the age of 86. And he really was quite an inventor, inventing things like the Showtime rotisserie oven, Mr. Microphone, the pocket fisherman, and basically infomercials. So we'll talk about that on the show today. And then also a country pop singer-songwriter, Jesse James Decker, has gone on to Instagram to complain about those who are body shaming her. She's a cute woman. She's 33 years old. I never knew her as a singer. I was first introduced to her because she was doing those TV commercials for the South Beach Diet. And she was on South Beach in a cute little bathing suit. And she's kicking in the water and talking about this diet. And I really wasn't paying attention to the diet. I was paying attention to her. I think there was one time when, I don't know, I found it interesting when I'm watching her and they did something for like a chicken breast deal or something. And okay, that made me think about breasts. But anyway, she's really, really an attractive person. But she's gained a little weight. And so people are shaming her. And she said, if you don't like me, leave me alone. Well, that's not the way it works, Jesse James. I wish it were that way, but that's not the way it works, because in the world that we live in now, people derive a sick and demented pleasure out of body shaming somebody or out of just criticizing somebody's political views. I mean, bashing their political views, bashing their stance on the vaccine or the mask or whatever. And it really has turned criticism into a recreational sport. And this has really been fueled by social media, because so many people are able to hide behind their social media and say whatever they want. I'd love to know what some of these people look like who are criticizing others. So we'll talk about that in the next hour. Also, in the last hour of the show, today is the day that the soundtrack Grease became number one in the country. On this day in 1978, the Grease soundtrack was number one in the U.S. There were so many great songs on that soundtrack album. And since it's summertime, I think we're just going to do all Grease bumper music in the 3 o'clock hour. Because, I mean, there were like some really summertime-related songs. And, you know, it was in the summer. It was July 29th, 1978, that the song was number one in the country. So it really did kind of fit the summertime mood. So we'll do that in the final hour of the show. Also, Suni Lee wins Olympic gold. She came in, and Simone Biles was not there, but she came in and won Olympic gold. So the U.S. Olympic team wins again. That is really awesome. And let's see. Oh, we have a couple of interesting things involving athletes. Saints wide receiver Deonte Harris apparently was arrested for drunk driving. Yeah, he was arrested for drunk driving earlier this month, allegedly driving under the influence. And the news has just been reported. And then also a Pelican center, Jackson Hayes, arrested and in the hospital after a brawl with police. That's not good. A lot of young athletes get into trouble. Now, driving under the influence, that's not just something that's confined to young athletes. You know, there are a lot of adults. Well, I mean, I know that young athletes are adults too, but there are a lot of grown people who should know better. And they don't, and they get in trouble with that. So, man, if you don't have to drink and drive, don't. You know, that's why there's, you know, Uber out there. That's why there are Lyft drivers and taxi drivers, and there's so many alternatives that, you know, a lot of people didn't think about in the past. And I really believe that Lyft and Uber in particular, I don't think they've really replaced taxi cabs. I think that they've just given an alternative to driving to a lot of people that never took cabs, but now they'll take Uber. And, you know, sometimes it was a problem. You know, you order a cab and oh, it's going to be 20 minutes. It's going to be 30 minutes. You know, you can get Uber or you can get Lyft a lot faster than that. I mean, if I've got to wait more than like 3 minutes, I'm kind of PO'd. So that has really provided a great alternative. So it's okay to drink. It's okay to go out and have fun and drink and maybe even drink too much at times. It's not okay to do that and get behind the wheel of a car. The Alternative Rock Festival Lollapalooza opens today at Grand Park in Chicago. This, I believe, is the 30th anniversary of the Palooza. Now, it was canceled last year because of the pandemic, but it's happening again. It's today through Sunday. And they have stages very much like Jazz Fest. You know, they've got the Bud Light Seltzer stage at one end and then the T-Mobile stage at the other end. And that's where the stars seem to be, kind of like the Gentilly stage and the Acura stage at Jazz Fest. So there are some new rules, and we'll be talking about that. Ian, did you ever go to a Lollapalooza?
I did. I went to Lollapalooza in 2007. Yeah, it was after Katrina. It was after I graduated. I was in Chicago that summer. Yeah. Saw Pearl Jam and Daft Punk, and it was a good time. I remember being real disappointed in the food because I hadn't gone to a ton of big music festivals until I moved to New Orleans to go to Loyola, and then I went to Jazz Fest all the time and French Quarter Fest and all the rest. But yeah, growing up in rural Colorado, I didn't do a lot of that. So I was accustomed to there being like really good food at festivals, you know?
No,
Jama Jama and Cochon de Lait and Crawfish Monica. And I went to Lollapalooza and it was like $9 for just the crappiest slice of pizza.
Yeah.
Like a sadist designed this pizza. It was so, and I was just like, what the hell am I eating? Why do people pay $9 for this? And my friend who lived in Chicago was like, this is just what there is to eat, man. Wash it down with your $6 bottle of water and be grateful.
Good. You go to festivals here and you're going to be spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to judge food at any other festivals like the ones you find here. But it definitely did fit this. When this started 30 years, I mean, look, think about that. Lollapalooza started 30 years ago. So somebody who was 15 is now 45. I mean, and that's why we do so much for that audience, because a 45-year-old male or female, man, that is like target demo for talk radio. And so to relate to them, you know, we got to do bumper music that relates to that crowd and that group. And
we got to play Daft Punk and Pearl Jam and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We have to.
We have a choice.
Not only do we want to, but we have to.
It's in the rules.
Yes.
There are rules.
Oh, there are rules. Well, no, I mean, I think it's all about relating to people.
And, absolutely.
You know, think about that. You know, think about the grunge. I mean, there are older baby boomers who are saying, oh, they're grungier. You know. But think about it. A guy who was 15, 30 years ago is 45 years old today. Man, that's target demo for talk radio. And I think it's our responsibility to do what we can to relate to that audience as well.
He probably still loves Pearl Jam and Daft Punk, but he's also the market for an air conditioner and a tractor, and he, you know, wants
to know
what's going on in the world and have important, you know, conversations with the people.
And maybe
in his
at some point he got really busy and got back on his taxes, and he might need GoTax resolution. He might need his driver's license updated because he's moved, and he would need to go to the notary shop. And maybe he's looking for a bank, and I would recommend Metairie Bank.
Maybe he's got a wife that he needs to propose to, and he's looking for a jeweler. He's in the market for a new car, or he's interested in coffee, or he wants to listen to Saints Tram. Literally just looking at the commercial log that's coming up in front of me.
These are the people that we reach every day on the show. So, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, this show reaches people beyond what you think are my political views.
That's very funny.
So Lollapalooza, 30 years old today. Now, because of the surge in COVID-19 cases, all festgoers are being required to bring a printed copy of their vaccine card or vaccine record or proof of a recent negative COVID test. And for those who have a negative COVID test, they're going to be required to wear a mask. I know, I have questions about that too. Here in New Orleans, Tipitina's, the Maple Leaf, DBA, They're going to now, starting tomorrow, require proof of vaccination or proof of a recent negative COVID test in order to enter the facility. DJ Sister, a Soul Sister, is hosting dance parties now, and there's one coming up at the Hilo Lounge, and it's open only to people who have been vaccinated. And I think maybe you can wear a mask as well. Hey, is this discrimination? Yeah, you bet it is. I mean, it's discrimination against people who are not vaccinated. Is this fair, though? So we'll talk about that on the show. And also, you know, I'm interested in the virus itself. You know, you're hearing about the Delta variant. Now, I made the mistake the other day of saying the virus is alive. Apparently, it's not alive. Technically, it's not alive. But the virus wants to survive. And I remember very early on in all of this, a doctor told me that the virus, ironically, doesn't want you to die. Because if you die, the virus dies. The virus wants the host, your body, to stay alive. And when you attack with vaccinations and when you attack with things that will chase the disease away, then it mutates. And that's what's happened. And look, people who get vaccinated are getting the Delta variant. And there are more and more kids in the hospital. Right here at Children's Hospital in New Orleans. In fact, CBS News sent one of their national reporters down to do a national story from Children's Hospital here in New Orleans. Because once again, you know, Louisiana is a hot spot. And it seems like we're a hot spot because a lot of people are not vaccinated. Is that going to change? Well, we'll talk about that. But also, I want to find out a little bit more about this virus mutating and the desire that the virus has, not that it has a brain or anything, but the desire that the virus has to stay alive. It doesn't want you to die. And so, like, it's going to move around and it's going to change, and it may change beyond the Delta variant. I mean, this may not be the only mutation. So we're going to talk to medical reporter Meg Ferris from Channel 4 Eyewitness News, coming up here in just a few minutes. At Lollapalooza this weekend, Grant Park in Chicago, one of the big acts is Post Malone. He'll be performing at Lollapalooza. And we've got some other music from some of the others who are performing. I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And for those of you who are at Lollapalooza in the mid-90s, Green Day was one of the bands performing. Lollapalooza begins today, 30 years later after it started, in Chicago, Grant Park. I don't think they're touring, but they were canceled last year, but at least Lollapalooza is back. But for those of you who went to Lollapalooza here in New Orleans at the lakefront in the mid-90s, Green Day was one of the bands that performed, and they were really, really cool. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. We're talking about the Delta variant. We're talking about the rising cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. And what is most alarming is the number of young people and children that are now getting the virus and are deathly ill, and a few are dying. CBS News featured somebody who, this guy's 17 years old, and he's a high school football player, and he's, you know, really, really sick in the hospital. And so it really can't happen to anybody. Meg Ferris is the medical journalist at WWL TV, Channel 4. She joins us on WWL. Hey, Meg.
Hey, Scoot. Good to talk to you again, although really not under these circumstances. I'm working on a story for our 5 and 6 o'clock newscast as we speak, and I just got back from interviewing the main pediatrician, Dr. Mark Klein, over at Children's. And I got to tell you, I'm sitting here reading, I'm logging my interview as we speak. And he said, if we don't all get vaccinated, he said, that's the only way to end this pandemic. He said, if we don't, let me read his quote, we're going to be facing these surges we're currently over a long, long period of time. And I mean years or decades is what he's saying. And he said that the cases of children have gone up from 4 on Monday to 20. And he's talking ICU, you know, ventilators. Yeah. There's been at least one death. And, Scoot, here's the thing that most concerned me. I said, are these children with pre-existing conditions, healthy children? He said there's no rhyme or reason. He said some do have some of those things we know are risk factors, obesity, and maybe they're on mm-hmm. some sort of immunosuppressant drug. But he said, Meg, a lot of them, vast number of them, are just regular healthy people, children, teens. You'd never expect to have problems. And he said they go from a few weeks old all the way to 18.
So, and Meg, is this the Delta variant, or is that not necessarily always the case?
Yes. Yeah, so they're assuming that most of these cases are the Delta variant for a couple of reasons. The state has data that show 85 to 90% of what's circulating in our state right now is the Delta variant. We've learned from doctors that it's 1,000 times more contagious, and so it's more easily, you know, being spread. And, you know, they're seeing people who had the first wild virus get it, because this is different. But we know that the vaccine is mostly protective. And it's just, this is sad. He said families are, they just can't believe this. I talked to someone who knows of the family who lost one of, you know, one of these teenagers who died from it. And of course, they're just devastated. So, you know, but Scoot, on another side, I will tell you that there are parents who listen to the news and they're genuinely concerned about giving their child or teen a vaccine. And every doctor I've talked to a few pediatricians, vaccinologists, they say those few cases where there was, in boys 16 to 24, some heart inflammation, in just about all of them, it went away. And if you get the natural virus, if you catch COVID, you're more likely to have inflammation in your brain and all throughout every organ of your body. So it's worse.
Yeah. Meg, talk to me about how it mutates. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I've admitted that I played one with a neighbor when I was a kid, but, you know, that's a whole different show. it's almost as if this virus has the desire to, maybe it's not technically alive, but to continue. It doesn't want you to die. It wants you to stay alive so it can thrive. Let's talk about the mutation of this.
Absolutely. And really, every living being on this planet goes through that evolutionary process. And Scoot, it's all so we can make better copies of ourselves to survive whatever nature throws at us, right? So what happens is every time the virus infects someone, it's constantly multiplying, replicating. And every time it does, it has a chance to mutate. Now, what's going to happen? But mutation just means it changes. The genetic code changes. So when it changes, if it changes and it's something bad that doesn't make it stronger, it's going to die out. Remember, survival, you know, of the fittest.
Right.
But if it changes that makes it more easily transmitted, then it's going to live longer. And that's the one that goes on. And here's what's scary. Every one of us, every one of our bodies, we are a host that can make the change can happen in us. And the doctors have seen people come in with the original virus from Wuhan into the hospital. They were in there for a couple of weeks, and when they left, they tested them, and that virus had already changed to something completely different.
Wow.
One person can make, you know, different new copies. Right now, the vaccines do help protect us against the Delta variant, but new variants are out there in people not vaccinated, just having a field day, just reproducing and, you know, coming out something different.
Is it fair to say the vaccine is alive?
The vaccine is
I'm not saying the vaccine. No, I meant the virus. Yeah. I meant the virus.
Oh, you know, that you'll have to get an expert on. When I was in school and we learned about viruses, we learned that they weren't considered living, but they do have living genetic material in them. But
okay.
They need you to reproduce. They need a host, you know,
like
a they can't reproduce on their own or replicate without getting into your cells.
Right.
So, man, I hope some biologist out there doesn't say I was totally wrong, but that's my, you know, understanding of it.
Well, when we talk about something surviving, the assumption is, well, it must be alive if it's trying to survive. Meg, is it fair to say that the Delta variant and that the mutations of this are in part a response to people getting vaccinated and the need to change to get to other people?
I understand what you're saying, because, Scoot, we've heard that, you know, taking antibiotics when you don't need them causes those bacteria to change to be super bacteria and get around antibiotics, so then our antibiotics don't work. That is not what doctors have told me about this, that the virus is getting in and infecting. Now, remember, it has to not only get in you, but it has to infect you, meaning it has to enter the cells to replicate and then change, mutate. Mm-hmm. And so that's happening in unvaccinated people, because when it gets in you and you've had these vaccines are coded to make fighter cells against those big spikes sticking out. That's why it's called corona, like a crown. It looks like a crown.
Okay.
And so we make these proteins, these antibodies, to fight the genetic code that's in those spikes. So what happens is the virus may get in your nose, but it can't infect, get in your, so then it can't do what it wants to do and just go wild and free. You know, it's on vacation, just doing what it wants in all your cells. So I don't understand it being at all a reaction to vaccines. I understand it from doctors. Yeah, it's a reaction to having free range in people not vaccinated.
Okay. And so for those who are vaccinated, it seems like we're hearing about, you know, people who are vaccinated getting the Delta variant and still getting very sick. But do we still hold to this idea that for the most part, if you're vaccinated, you've just got a better chance of staying out of the hospital?
Yes. Okay. So I can talk intelligently, Scoot, about that, because I just interviewed three doctors yesterday about that. So the numbers are minuscule. It's like 0.009% of people vaccinated who have gotten what's called a breakthrough case. Now, remember, the vaccines are upwards of 94% effective, where flu vaccines are like 15 to 60% effective. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can still get infected, but completely, by and large, people who get the Delta variant and you've been vaccinated, you'll either never know because you're asymptomatic, or you'll have a mild, mild case and you think, oh, I got a little cold. Or you may not feel so great, but you won't go to the hospital. The people, the very few who are going to the hospital, and this makes sense, when you're 80 or 90, your immune system is waning, right? It's not as strong. So you get a vaccine and your immune system is pooped. And it says, okay, I'm going to make some fighter cells, but I'm not going to make as many as if you were 20, 30, 40. So you don't mount that response as well. Now, the other people, sadly, who are also dying, who have been vaccinated, are transplant patients, and doctors tell me they don't mount a response. In other words, their body doesn't respond to the vaccine, and people on immunotherapy, like who have cancer. So now we know they need to be extra protected with masks or staying home, those people. There are few healthy people that have a serious breakthrough case, but it is so minuscule. I mean, the data, Scoot, are just socking us in the face about how incredible these vaccines are. Every doctor and study has told me they do not change or put DNA in you. They do not cause infertility. And they're just adamant about that, and so is the science. So I'm passing on what I've learned from the experts.
Yeah, I mean, you're really doing a great job explaining this, you know, in an expert way that even somebody like me can understand. It's really scary. We've never gone through anything like this. We've all been through a lot in our lives, but this is a really unique situation. And, you know, without bringing you into this conversation, I will just simply say while I'm talking to you that it is a shame that for so many people this has turned into a political thing, because it should be nothing more than a health thing. And obviously the other big battle, Meg, is against the misinformation that has infected social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I take a different approach. I understand what you're saying, because I'm hearing what you're saying from so, so many people. But here's how I look at it. A lot of these people I've interviewed, and the doctors tell me the This is what their patients tell them. They genuinely, genuinely really think the vaccine went too fast. We don't know enough. It's going to hurt you. They really do in their heart mm-hmm. of hearts. And so my goal is I want to just put the education out there. I want to connect our wonderful city, the people in it, with the experts so they can make an informed decision for themselves. And what I did told people yesterday when I was talking to Tommy, I've told people, you email me and I will send your email to one of the top experts and I will get a direct answer, because some people have specific things. Like, for instance, I have a new friend, Scoot, and Chucky Elam. He's a sax player and he's been all over the world. He's one of our wonderful New Orleans musicians. And he was scared. I met him by chance and he was scared to get the vaccine because he had had a reaction once to a flu vaccine. I got him straight in touch with Dr. Fred Lopez, the infectious disease expert at LSU Health. And they combed over his records and his case, determined he could get it. He came and got the vaccine. He did fine. And now he's back playing gigs and his whole life changed. He didn't have to be a shut-in and he had, you know, he wasn't making money. So this vaccine changed his life. But it was a genuine thing. It wasn't politics. He really was scared. So I offer that. Email me if you have a specific question. mfarris, F-A-R-R-I-S, at wwltv.com. I will send your specific question about your health situation to a doctor and try to get an answer for you to help you.
Right, that's really a great opportunity. So it's mfarris, F-A-R-R-I-S, at wwltv.com. So, you've got an open invitation to send something to Meg, and she will get it to a doctor and then get back to you. So it's very, very generous of you to do that, and we appreciate that. Are we seeing enough of a spike in people getting the vaccination now that the Delta variant is out there and making so much noise?
Okay, so Oxner reported to us that after Delta making so much noise, as you said, a 10 to 15% jump in vaccines. And we went last Friday, we went to Oakwood Mall, where Oxner had opened up a vaccine site. And people were coming in to the mall and in this little store and getting vaccinated who said they never would have gotten it before, that this was the push that they needed. So that's good. Well, I say that's good, but Scoot, my goodness, you know, this is killing people. And so, you know, and school, here's the thing. This jump in cases of these teens and young people, school starts in a few weeks, and it takes 5 weeks to get full immunity if you get the Pfizer or Moderna. And, you know, my heart's just aching for parents and kids, and they want, you know, how we were when we were teens, you want to be with your friends. You want to, you learn so much being in school, and I'm just worried about all these children. So,
Meg, thank you very much for your time. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Meg and I go way back. We didn't really hang out together, but my mother was Meg's mother's maid of honor at Meg's mother's wedding. So that's how far back.
Isn't it amazing?
I know, it really is.
You know what we call it in my family? Small parish, Scoot. Small
that's
parish.
Right, that's right.
It's so true. And didn't they, like, from second grade or something together?
Yes.
Weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. They knew each other from second grade on. So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you never know who you're going to run into later in life. But it's always great to talk to you. You're always a wealth
of
information. And thank you very much. And we'll continue to hold your email address. And I'll remind people as we talk about this that they can email you.
Okay.
And you will specifically get their information to a doctor. Meg Farris, medical journalist, WWL-TV. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Scoot.
All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Email address, scoot at wwl.com. Here's the big group performing this year. Well, one of the big artist acts at Lollapalooza 2021 that opened up in Chicago today, runs through Sunday. Foo Fighters, one of the big headliners. We'll be back on WWL. Lollapalooza, the alternative rock music festival, started 30 years ago. It opened today, runs through the weekend in Chicago. I don't believe they're touring, but there was a time when Lollapalooza was touring. And in the mid-90s, it was here in New Orleans on the lakefront. And Smashing Pumpkins was one of the bands that performed. So here's this alternative fest. It's 4 days of a music fest. The Foo Fighters, Miley Cyrus, Limp Bizkit, Tyler the Creator, Megan Thee Stallion, Post Malone are some of the big artists. But there's something different this year. Lollapalooza is requiring all fans to have their vaccine card with them or proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test. And if you are not vaccinated and you have the negative test, you're supposed to wear a mask. Now, can you make somebody wear a mask? I mean, what if they get in there? I mean, because there'll be people there who are vaccinated and they're not going to wear a mask. So how are you going to maintain order there? I don't know. I don't know how realistic that is. Here in New Orleans, the legendary music venue Tipitina's, the Maple Leaf, DBA, they are going to, starting tomorrow, require proof of vaccination as a condition for being admitted. Popular DJ Soul Sister is requiring proof of vaccination or a negative test for all those attending her dance parties, one of them scheduled for the Hi-Ho Lounge. Many are going to argue that proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test is discrimination. But there are legal grounds for such rules to be implemented because it doesn't call out a particular group, especially a protected class. Now, as a fully vaccinated person who is aware of the reality that I could still get COVID-19, I would enjoy going to an event or a venue or anywhere where I knew people had to show proof of vaccination. I'm concerned about the requirement of those who are not vaccinated who will actually wear a mask because some people who are unvaccinated that I've talked to on the show seem to have this arrogant attitude about not getting the shot and not wearing a mask. So I don't know if all of them can be trusted to wear a mask. So what faith should we have in someone who's not vaccinated agreeing to wear a mask? I don't know, but that would be a concern of mine. While those who may argue that this is discrimination, I'll tell you, yeah, it is discrimination. This is a national health issue. And the numbers make it very, very clear that the Delta variant, COVID-19, is being spread by people who are not vaccinated. And so there are people who can't get vaccinated. And there are people who won't. There are people who are scared because, as Meg Ferris just said, they're concerned about the speed with which it was developed. There are many people who are not getting the vaccination who applaud the speed with which it was developed under Operation Warp Speed under President Trump. They're applauding that, but still not everybody's getting the vaccine. You know, we live in America, and people are free to refuse to get the vaccine, or they're free to not wear a mask. But their misguided fight for freedom is actually going to lead to possibly a loss of freedom. A loss of freedom to attend Lollapalooza in Chicago or to go hear a band at Tipitina's in uptown New Orleans. Yeah, we have freedom of choice. But some are choosing to lose their freedom by choosing not to get the vaccine. I mean, how do you feel about this? If you are not vaccinated, if you don't want to get it, how do you feel about the reality that more and more venues may require proof of vaccination? And you know, you can't help but wonder if this is going to spawn a new cottage industry of fake vaccine cards. You know, like we had fake IDs back when we were young to get into bars before we were of legal drinking age. Are people going to have fake vaccine ID cards so they can get in places? I don't know. But if you're a vaccinated person like I am, wouldn't you feel better going to a place where everybody's vaccinated? Or is this a form of discrimination that is just unacceptable? If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And my email address is scoot@wwl.com. And we'll get to some of your text here in just a moment. Let's go to our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke, with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says 99.85 survival rate. No need to scare people anymore.
Okay, I get that. But there are still people dying. I mean, you know, I don't know whether that is the actual number of the survival rate, but I know that the survival rate is overwhelming. But these people who are dying, this is not fake. These are not actors. The people who have lost loved ones, they're not lying about this. So, I mean, if that rationalizes you not getting the vaccine, then that's okay. This is America, and you have a right to rationalize. Right now, as a fully vaccinated person, I would rather go to a place that had a criteria where everybody had to show that they were vaccinated.
Even if this texture is correct and it's a 99.85 survival rate, like, I think what that fails to acknowledge is the amount of work that went into getting to that survival rate, the amount of resources that were consumed, the amount of person hours that were used up at hospitals in order to get that survival rate. And that is not sustainable. We can't just keep, you can't just keep shoveling sick people into the hospital and thinking that that is going to be like a good long-term solution. If we burn out our hospital systems, that survival rate will come way down. And if our hospitals fail, our grocery stores are going to fail, and everything else will kind of fall apart after that.
You know, the other thing is, if you took all of the drunk drivers on the road, all of the drunk drivers that drove drunk but got home, the percentage of people who got home over those who got into an accident would be fairly high. So you could argue that there's this overwhelming percentage of drunk drivers who actually made it home okay. So let's not worry about drinking and driving.
Right.
So percentages may be small in some cases, but, you know, really it doesn't mean it's not dangerous.
It doesn't really tell the entire story, does it?
Right. No.
Let's take a break.
All right. If you want to join us, the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. One of the big artists this year at Lollapalooza in Chicago, which started today, is Miley Cyrus. She does more than just pop songs. This is Miley Cyrus doing the Cranberries hit Zombie. And I'm assuming that, that Miley will be doing a lot of covers. She's done Metallica covers, but listen to Miley Cyrus doing this. I'm not saying she's not going to play Party in the USA, because she might, or Wrecking Ball, but I'm sure she's going to do some of this stuff at Lollapalooza. Just an amazing singer. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. This song by this group, this just so personifies the 90s to me, that grunge era. This is the Breeders and Cannonball. And the Breeders were at one of the Lollapaloozas here in New Orleans at the lakefront in the mid-90s. And you might have been there. And again, if you were 15 years old then, you're 45 years old today, because, well, I was close to 30. Well, I don't know. Maybe that was, maybe Lollapalooza started 30 years ago. So it didn't necessarily come to New Orleans. It might have started before 95, the mid-90s. Anyway, you're a little older now, and thank you for being part of our audience. Coming up in the next hour, I want to add to the conversation. By the way, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you could hang on through the news, I will start getting to your calls right after the news. We do have a lot of people who want to respond, and I think this topic of Lollapalooza and now some places here like Tipitina's requiring proof of vaccination is something that a lot of people are going to resist. As a fully vaccinated person, I like it. I would love to go to a place where everybody had to prove that they were vaccinated or that they had tested recently negative for a COVID. But still, you know, negative tests can really be false negatives. And are they really going to wear a mask? So, look, there's a lot of confusion there, but I would like to go to a place where everybody had to prove that they were vaccinated. I mean, right now, with the way things are, that would make me feel better. So we're going to continue that conversation into the next hour. But I also want to bring up the idea that criticism is now a recreational sport. The criticism of Simone Biles, the criticism of celebrities who gain a little weight. What is it about criticizing that is so attractive to some people? It's almost as if they thrive on criticizing even the people they don't like. And I get my share of that here. I mean, I don't care what they think, but it's just really interesting that some people just feel the need to condemn. We'll talk about that coming up on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.